What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. And we are back today with all the boys and a very big announcement. Yes, that is right. Today marks the very last episode of Parc Fermé. I know I can hear the sound of tears just hitting the ground across the nation, across the world. But don't worry. Because we're not really disappearing. While today is the last Parc Fermé episode, it also marks the first episode of F1 True North.
It's lights out and away we go.
That's right. We are rebranding. We're renaming the podcast from Parc Fermé to Formula One True North. And there are a couple of reasons behind that. I think first and foremost, one of the things that we notice is the term Parc Fermé is obviously very popular when it comes to Formula One. And, you know, I'm going to shout out Drew here because he was the one that came up with the very punny spelling of it. It was, for any of you who have ever actually paid attention to the logo, it's Parc Fermé because we are Canadian F1 podcast, but turns out Google doesn't share our same sense of humor. They don't get it. Google is not very punny, not as punny as Drew, and it made SEO a bit of a nightmare. The second thing is that we realized there's actually another Parc Fermé podcast spelled properly, and while they seem to have gone dormant for a while we were recording, or while we started it up, they seem to be back. Maybe we inspired them. I'm not sure. What do you guys think? And I think the third reason is the way this name really came together, this rebrand. For those of you that don't know the history of the podcast and how we all came together, again, Drew, one fateful day, kind of got on these local car groups, Facebook groups that we were all a part of. And he said, hey, any other Formula One fans here? You want to start a podcast? And we all chimed in. We were all into it. But one of the things that these podcasts all have in common is that they are called, you know, let's call it BMW True North, Mercedes-Benz True North. That was kind of like the brand of these groups. So what better way to pay homage to where we live, where we're from, and how we came together than Formula One True North, F1TN. Here we go, episode one. Let's roll. Does anyone else have anything to add?
Nah, man. I think you did a bang up job there. Yeah, we met through a True North car club, you know, from various ones, either Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi, Porsche, all the True Norths out in Ontario here. And yeah, I think it was a very organic way for us to rebrand the podcast. Obviously, the SEO, like Walker had mentioned, was not really loving the fact that we misspelled a word that is very popular. So despite me thinking I'm so clever, that didn't really help us in terms of us getting to the right audience. And so, you know, we were kind of thinking of what's the way that we can still represent us as who we are, how we met, where we're from, and also represent Canada in a big way. So I think that's kind of, you know, we all came to this conclusion pretty quick. That's probably one of the fastest things that we've ever made a decision on, which was quite nice last week. And so we kind of, you know, spent the better part of the week kind of figuring out, you know, some branding, some logos, some stuff like that. And, you know, we'd love to hear back from you guys, the listeners, about, you know, kind of how you want this rebrand to kind of do. Cause we love and appreciate you guys in terms of, supporting us, listening to us and, you know, liking, subscribing, doing all that fun stuff. You know, I've spent, some time going through our Instagram, our socials and stuff like that, and kind of turning everything that was Parc Fermé into F1 True North. And so, you know, again, keep doing what you're doing and liking, subscribing, doing all that fun stuff, because we really appreciate it. And hopefully Google loves us a little bit more this time. We are using words that are in the English alphabet, and Google seems to like and appreciate that. So, yeah, that's kind of why this kind of played out the way it is. And, yeah, we're really excited about it.
So there you have it. It is new name, same show. It's an evolution of the show that we're all really excited about. We're gonna consider Parc Fermé like the F3 and F2 of our podcast careers, And now we're in the fucking majors. Now it's like serious business. So welcome to,
you know what? It's been a year.
Yeah.
It's been almost like exactly a year. Cause the GoDaddy stuff was all kind of renewing at the mid May point. Right. So it's been a full year. We've done almost 40 episodes now, and it's been, you know, a lot of learning obviously on us in terms of us never podcasting before. And obviously we've grown into something that's, you know, attractive to other people. We're getting, you know, an audience that actually for some reason I've announced to me is people give a shit about what we say on the podcast. I had some people freak out and send me some DMs online being like, hey, you're in my weekly route, like, regiment of podcasts. Like, I look forward to it every week. Like, I noticed that your podcast had changed logos and stuff. I just want to make sure that it isn't gone. And so, like, you know, people I haven't talked to since high school are reaching out and stuff. So, like, obviously the pod's getting out there to some people and strangers, and Facebook started lighting up a little bit about it too. So yeah, it's really nice to know that there's people out there that listen and like and it's kind of support us, right? So yeah, cheers to another year, guys.
Definitely. It was it's been a nice, awesome ride. And I just find that our team, like the way we built things out, the way we started talking, the way we started getting on the podcast, it was a little rough at the start, but you know, we found out like the secret sauce. And here's to more years, guys. Like it's only upwards from here. So congrats to us, congrats to Park Ferme. Thank you for taking us wherever we are right now, and onwards to F1.
Yeah, so I just wanted to also touch up a little bit. It's been a year almost when we're doing this, and four random guys coming together and starting this podcast is something truly amazing. And the way we connected, the way we're learning every episode, the way we're improving. And I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for you know, listening to us and supporting us. And we're looking forward to many, many more episodes with you and better content as the time goes on.
So I guess with that said, thank you to everyone who's listened, who's brought us here this far, and welcome to F1 True North, the Canadian Formula One podcast. Getting right into it, let's talk about Imola. Pop quiz, who knows the entire name of the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix? Anybody out there? A whole thing.
No, I know just as much as you just said.
Same.
Okay.
That's it. But I do know that it's like a whole spectacle, and I think it involves every letter in the English alphabet. And probably a few that aren't.
I mean, I would say most that aren't. I'm actually looking it up, and I can't actually find it.
Oh, God.
You know what? Even the F1 website simplified it to just, oh, here it is. It's the Formula One MSC Cruises Grand Prix Model made in Italy, E della Emilia Romagna 2024. Simple.
Wow.
Perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. Just rolls off the tongue. Easy. So we're coming off Miami, which was a much more entertaining race than I thought, certainly. Obviously, Lando coming off his first win. We talked all about that last week. Let's get a little preview here. What are we looking forward to in Imola? Drew?
It's going to be a lot less wet than last year. So I think that's... no, too soon? Is this too soon? No, I don't know. I'm looking forward to a few of the upgrades. I know the teams have brought a couple upgrades. I know everyone's been talking about it. This is kind of like the quarter way through the season. So a lot of the teams have been finding their groove, what the drivers, what they can expect from each guy. Obviously there's been some highlights, some lowlights from each of the drivers. I'm really hoping that the pack kind of tightens up a little bit here. Cause a lot of those backmarker teams, Alpine getting points last week, that kind of thing. Like I want to see a little bit of shakeup, you know, down at the bottom. Obviously the attention's always, you know, being paid to the front of the grid and Red Bull and who's doing their best to catch Red Bull. How's McLaren doing, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, McLaren had a big, big weekend last weekend in Miami. So that's obviously something that, that they can brag about and work forward from. But I think that, there's a couple of spreads that I want to take a look at closely. Cause I know that Aston Martin and Mercedes are kind of just drifting back away from that top three pack right now. And I just, I'd like to see, you know, those two guys kind of pull up their socks a little bit. I'd love to see a little bit more out of Alex Albon. He came off a little bit of a rough weekend, but, you know, I think this is going to be a very different track than Miami. So I'm curious to see what the new upgrades look like, and teams that aren't bringing upgrades, I want to see how they do on a track that that's a little bit, you know, more track-esque and a little less street fighter. What do you got on that one, Ed?
I'm actually looking forward to McLaren, like, really owning up to what they've been shouting. Even Zach Brown is like, yeah, we now have a we finally have a car that can, you know, take it to Red Bull. And you know what? I'm going to take a stance on this one, and I want to see them, you know, like, really take it to Red Bull. Being that they did say that they were faster in terms of pace in Miami. And being that Imola is, there's lots of straights on it, lots of high-speed corners. Tamburello being one of the fast corners as well. And if their pace is really up there, then McLaren should take it and give Red Bull a hard time. So I'm looking forward to that. Mercedes, on the other hand, they're saying that they're going to be bringing out more upgrades for Imola. Again, proof's in the pudding. I'd like to see how that actually translates into the actual race. And yeah, just looking forward to a race in Imola again, and other things that could transpire within the bottom feeder teams as well. One of which, Ollie Bierman's, I think, coming back for FP1 for Haas. So it's because of the pending issue with our boy Magnussen, and if he gets another penalty, it might be a one race ban, but we'll see what happens. Tomas, what do you have there for him?
Yeah, so obviously looking very, very much so forward to the race. One of my favorite tracks. I am actually very, very interested in to see what's going to happen with Haas. Just judging by last week's episode, we'll see if it's going to be another shit show or if they're actually going to play nice with other boys in the sandbox. Have big, big hopes for McLaren as well. The way they performed and you know, swung the bat to say, wow, it was amazing. So I'm really hoping they will bring the fight to Red Bull. And hopefully going to get another first place or at least somewhere on the podium. But chances are probably not, because Red Bull's going to dominate. As regards for, you know, for the other teams, I think they're going to be more or less the same. We might see a little bit, you know, maybe Ferrari fighting with McLaren or with Red Bull. Aston Martin, Mercedes, I think, are going to be a little bit more back. If they do something, it's going to be a miracle. So, excited for the race and we'll see what happens.
So we have both Ferrari and Mercedes bringing apparently big upgrades with them to the track. I'm not sure if there's some other teams that are bringing some upgrades or not, but definitely Ferrari, Mercedes. My question to you three is, who do you think is going to see the biggest delta with their upgrade package? Not necessarily who's going to be faster, but who's going to see the biggest upgrade in performance? I think last week, last race, when we were looking at Miami, Mercedes brought some stuff with them and it seemed to help at least maybe Lewis be a little bit more competitive, have a little bit more consistency with the car. This is apparently the big package for Ferrari that's coming. We'll see if that levels them up to kind of Red Bull and now perhaps McLaren's level. Who do you think has more to gain this weekend between Ferrari and Mercedes? True.
You know what? I think just based on like the nuances of that question, I think the biggest delta is probably going to be Mercedes. I don't know if Aston Martin's bringing any upgrades, but I would argue that Aston Martin would probably be in front of Mercedes if that was the case. And not because Ferrari's, you know, big upgrades aren't big, but just that law of diminishing returns. Like once they're already close enough to the top, I just don't know if their upgrades are going to get them that much further ahead. I think that they're going to be competitive to what we saw McLaren bring last time and that raw pace. And I think they might equal that, maybe surpass it a little bit. But if we're talking like in terms of timing, like I would argue that might be a 10th at most, you know what I mean? Maybe a 10th and a half, which is a lot. It's not nothing. But in terms of like, you know, them actually taking the fight to Red Bull, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, in terms of like you mentioned, the Delta, I think Mercedes has a long way to go to catch up. I think they have a long way to go to catch up to McLaren, let alone Ferrari. So I think that, you know, if I don't know for certain, but if Aston Martin's taking, you know, just historically over the last, you know, 8 to 12 months, Aston Martin's upgrades have actually done something. I would argue that, you know, Mercedes-Benz has definitely not been bringing upgrades that have done anything for them in any sort of big way. So if Mercedes, you know, upgrades kind of actually do what they're supposed to do, I think they have the biggest delta. What do you got on that one, Thomas?
I agree with you, Drew. I think I was going to say the same thing. I think Mercedes has a lot to prove and a lot to show for. Part of me also thinks that I expect a little bit too much of them, and I think I'm going to be disappointed. I hope that's not the case. It's getting kind of to the point where I kind of want to see them succeed again, because there's so much Red Bull dominance, and they're kind of a little bit like almost back of the pack, but like more not in the podium places. So I do want them to be a little bit more competitive than what they are right now. So I'm hoping what they bring out is actually going to be good and actually is going to give, you know, McLaren a little bit of a fight, as Aston Martin and Ferrari. I'm hoping for a miracle, I guess what I'm saying, but yeah, I'm hoping Mercedes would be the biggest winner here. Head.
I don't know. I beg to differ. I think Mercedes is probably going to be whelming this entire season. I don't think that they're going to be putting a lot of effort into like taking the car, making it competitive is one thing, but like winning, I doubt it. Like Lewis is out of, you know, the driver seat for Mercedes, and then they don't even have a second driver yet. And they know that the performance between them and McLaren and Ferrari is going to be leaps and bounds. So I'm guessing from my personal point of view that it's going to be a write-off. I think that Ferrari is going to be the one that's going to have like that different delta, because now they're seeing that McLaren has a resurgence. Red Bull
is
still up there.
So I think one of, I think one of the interesting things with the Mercedes car seems to be that it's not necessarily, it seems competitive in very narrow windows. That's how I understand their challenges, right? It's kind of keeping it within that performance window. And you've seen that in certain conditions or in certain practice sessions where all of a sudden, you know, Lewis or somebody is kind of near the top of that timing sheet. So it will be interesting to see whether they can find, I guess, more consistency with the packages that they bring. And if they do, I think, you know, they have a greater delta to gain. We're going into this weekend with, you know, I still think riding a little bit of the high of Lando winning and just having somebody else win on merit, on track, regardless of safety cars, regardless of anything else. You know, Lando had a fast car. And I feel like we've heard this story before. We've all been through it before over the last few years, where we have like a glimmer of hope, and then the next day or the next race, Red Bull comes back and just absolutely smashes everybody. So am I right to still have a little faint glimmer of hope in my heart that someone else can be competitive and win this race? Or am I just getting my hopes up? Am I just setting myself up for massive disappointment?
I think that there's, you know, a glimmer of hope, that same glimmer of hope that I know us four guys share and a lot of Formula One fans share. There's, you know, there's the Max Verstappen diehards, which are, you know, bountiful all over the world. There's lots of Max fans, which is great. But I think, you know, even myself as a Hamilton fanboy, like at one point it does get boring. You know, and like even when Hamilton was winning, he still had to fight for those wins. They weren't 25 second runaways on a habitual basis. So, you know, I think that there's that glimmer of hope in all of us. We all have that, you know. It's just like we all want to believe that Santa's real. And we all know it's not true and it's not going to happen, but like, we still think about it. We still dream about it. You know, there's that kid in all of us. So yeah, I think Red Bull is going to come back this week and smash it. But I will say, you know, on a caveat, I thought Max was very, very professional on how he handled Lando's win. He was not upset about it. He was very congratulatory. He was very graceful in terms of like saying that Lando won on merit, that he had a fast car and like he beat me. It wasn't a, you know, I don't know. I just, historically, Max has been way more childish and kind of stomping his feet as he loses, but he was very graceful this time. And I have to say, over the last, you know, 6 months of racing, I've definitely seen Max Verstappen kind of mature a little bit, and it's been quite nice.
That's a really interesting point. And it's like, is Max becoming more likable? Like, I don't want to admit it. Yeah. I feel dirty just saying that, but like, he kind of is.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm warming up to it too. Honestly,
well, fuck, for Ed to warm up to Max, that's is like
new for sure. Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Big news, I mean, man.
Yeah, 2021. I'm still not over that thing.
Oh my god! Still,
that's like, just as rare as Thomas liking a Formula One. Like, oh yeah, how was the race? It was all right. It was all right. Yeah, it was okay. I didn't really like it. It was okay. So yeah.
From here, does anyone else want to chime in on Max?
Yes.
Red Bull dominating or not?
Yes.
Okay, take it away, buddy.
So yeah, as you guys said, Max is growing and maturing and becoming a little bit more likable, and I feel the same way about him. But I also think that Lando winning, I think, you know, almost the whole world and the whole grid wanted to see him win, and you know, he was so close so many times, and when that win happened, I think what Max and everyone showed was legitimate support and happiness for Lando. You know, it took a while, but he got it, and he got it fair and square. So, you know, everyone was rooting for him. And back to your question, Walker, do I see a glimmer of hope? As Drew said, no, I think Red Bull is going to dominate and kick the shit out of everyone this GP as a comeback. But I would want to see another team. But like I said, that's just hope, and that's all I can hope for.
So with that said, when we were previewing the Miami Grand Prix, we didn't even bother choosing a 1-2-3. We gave an over-under on whether the pack was going to be over or under a certain time behind Max. And we all got that terribly wrong, thankfully.
Terrible.
So my question now is, does Lando's win and does that change in the podium for Miami warrant us naming a first, second, and third place in Imola? Or are we still doing the over-under because we all expect Max to come back and smash? How do we want to approach
Max
this?
Max smash.
Yeah, I support that.
Okay, so let's do the over-under then. I'm going to do... I'm going to set the over-under at 10 seconds max at P1. Is the pack going to be, is the closest car going to be over or under 10 seconds away from him? Drew?
I'll take the under.
Under? Ed?
I'll take over.
Okay.
Over.
Thomas? I'm going to go under because I'm just a fucking romantic. Helpless romantic. I can't, someone's got to come close. But we'll see. Okay, number two and three then. If we got Max winning, who do we have second and third?
I want to see Chuckles Lebuckles on two. I think he's deserving of a podium again. And I think that that this might just be it. And I think that after kind of how things went in Miami, I think Checo Perez wants to be up on that podium. And I'm going to put him for three.
Ed?
That's fair. But you know what? I'm gonna stick to what I said, and I have Lando second and Carlos Sainz third.
It's great minds think alike. I was gonna say as well. Charles Leclerc second and Sainz third. I see a Ferrari 2-3 in this one.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm echoing Thomas. I have Well, Claire 2, Signs 3. And, you know, I obviously think that might happen. That's my prediction. But it also acts as a really good segue into Audi. Because Signs and Audi, there's still like this limbo that's happening. Apparently, Signs has until the Monaco Grand Prix to make his decision on Audi. If not, they're floating some very interesting names in terms of a replacement or filling that second seat. We all know they have Nico as their first driver right now. Another rumor, which Drew brought up, which I don't know which fucking publications you're reading, has Zhou as the number two driver.
I think it
Where
was
are you pulling this stuff from?
I think it had to do with the sponsorship. It was the money that it was coming
even
from.
With Audi? Even with Audi as like a title sponsor?
Yeah, man. It had to do with the money. Yeah. I think it's a good play? I don't think so. I think there's better drivers on the grid. Do I think there's value in keeping Joe on the grid? I think there's a place for him. I don't know if that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, you know, because there's someone like Logan Sargeant who could go very quickly. But then, like, is that where Kimi Antonelli might take a seat for a minute? Right. And then, you know, then you think about what Haas is going to do. I just don't see Joe Grandu at Haas. Right. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of perplexed on that one. Like, I know Andrea Seidel was very adamant about why he wanted to take Nico Hülkenberg early days. And he was super excited about just his consistency, his, you know, attitude around the paddock and his winning mindset and, you know, how he's consistently a fast driver. They could get him, you know, an experienced guy like that with the pedigree. And obviously he doesn't have the wins behind his name, but that was obviously very team oriented and, you know, kind of where he was stuck on the grid based on his team. But, you know, they obviously wanted to go with somebody who might not be a rock star, but they're solid every day kind of thing. And they felt like they could build a team around him and maybe perhaps train some of the younger guys up the ranks with Nico. And so Andrea Seidel was very, you know, passionate about that. And he's spent some time back building the new Audi headquarters because they're going to be a works team. So they're getting on to the building up the manufacturing plan in terms of, you know, creating engines. So it's obviously they have a lot of spoons in the pots, and there's a lot of things going on right now at stake F1 team kick Sauber future Audi. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. If their livery is anything like that kind of like orangey red black and white and gray one, it's gonna slap. I'm all about that. I can get way behind that livery. So I'm excited to see them on the grid, and I think that Andrea Seidel's a great puppeteer in terms of like putting things together. So obviously I trust his opinion. If he wants to go with Nico, I don't hate the idea. I think the other driver should either be a young gun coming up and kind of taking them through the ranks and just like, you know, finding that diamond in the rough that just needs a little polishing. But, you know, I don't think they have that opportunity at this moment, but who knows what's going to happen in the next 36 months. Right.
I mean, that's a tough situation really. Like you don't know what's going to happen next, like in terms of what choices do they have. I mean, Carlos Sainz, whatever it is, like, I don't know what he's waiting for. Yeah, I think that's it's probably the Red Bull seat or probably a Mercedes seat or somewhere else. Because I know that he said it multiple times that he wants a winning car. He wants to be the lead driver, so on and so forth. I mean, he has, you know, Audi, that's going to be a good chance for him. But I don't know, honestly, don't know what he's waiting for. Guan Yu Zhou, like being in Audi, I think would be a good plus, being that he'll bring some sponsorship money. Like one of the key indicators with Audi initially was... like the money part is one thing, being able to take over the entire team is another thing. But of course, like coming into Formula One, being a works team, you need that budget. So Joe is going to definitely bring that money in to the team if that were to happen. And I've also heard too, like either Ollie Bearman for Haas, Guan Yu Zhou also coming into Haas as well because of the money. It's all about the money at this point. But really, like, I honestly, me personally, I want to see Carlos Sainz in the Audi team because I think that he's going to kill it. And Audi's going to come out of the gates with all of their experience in Le Mans and be like, who knows, they might scare the entire grid next year and start really like, yeah, we're a team to be reckoned with. So we'll see how that goes.
So Tomas, basically, I think what we touched up upon a little bit a couple podcasts ago, last podcast, Hülkenberg, Audi wants to have like a German connection there. I think that's why that's one of the reasons why they picked him. I don't see Joe coming to Audi, even if it is about the money. He's still a relatively new driver. I mean, we're talking about Audi here. They have the budget. They have the money. Obviously, more money would be a positive, but I just don't think they need it at this point in time. With Carlos Sainz, again, from what I read and what I've seen, the rumor mill, they offered him a ridiculous amount of money for him to go to Audi. I believe his father, races for Audi or raced for Audi, something like that. So they're really keen on having him as well. But I don't know what Carlos is waiting for. I think, you know, he wants that Red Bull seat or the Mercedes seat. He wants short term contract for bigger winning prospects, I guess. So I think that's what he's holding off. But I think it would be a huge mistake if he doesn't take the Audi offer. It's there for now, but it could expire essentially any day. He might not even get the Mercedes seat or the Red Bull seat. What he's doing is a smart play, waiting for his options, figuring out what's going to come. Maybe something else is going to come better. But I would love to see him in Audi. I think he should go to Audi. And I think Audi is going to be a very, very good team. Maybe not the first year, but they seem like they will have the budget. They will have the people, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, we will see lots of apples in the air. Is that the saying? That's not the saying. Lots of hats in the air, something in the air. And just, you know, through this, obviously, there are going to be some careers that are made, and there are going to be some careers that are just, you know, unfortunately, absolutely decimated. So with that, you know, from dying careers to deceased drivers, this is 30 years of Ayrton Senna's tragic death. I know, Ed, you wanted to acknowledge this this moment as well, being a big Senna fan.
Could we just take a moment to like congratulate you on that unreal segue from dying careers to dead drivers? Wow. Can we just stop? Like, that needs to be recognized for a moment.
I'm not sure if journalism. I should be proud of that or scared of that. I'm not sure what the reaction is going to be.
I don't know. That was journalism at its finest.
Yes. Honestly, that was so smooth.
Thank you. Thank you. Ed, take it away, buddy. Save this.
I'll try to. Well, like, I wouldn't say I'm one of the biggest Senna fans. Like, I just like respect the driver in general, because back then, 1994, the day he passed, it was not just him that actually passed away in Imola. I think it was either qualifying or free practice. Roland Ratzenberger also perished in that same race as well. And to this day, like, I still can't understand how they were able to pull it off to continue the race. I mean, two drivers already died. And the reason why, like, I just want to call this out is because the reason why safety is like the forefront right now in Formula One, because back then you can literally punch through the monocoque. There is no monocoque. It's literally like a tube chassis, fiberglass, and then that's it. There's no safety. And the marker of Ayrton Senna dying and Sid Watkins coming back in and saying, we need to make Formula One safe. We need to make Formula One, you know, the top tier when it comes to safety, because drivers are dying. And like the impact of Senna to not just Formula One in general, but the whole country of Brazil is just like, he's still, you know, rendered as a hero. You can't talk bad about him. And Drew, yeah, that, whatever you just said earlier that was recorded, yeah, that would have gotten you in so much trouble. So, but yeah, you know, 30 years of his death. And yeah, you know, I have said this multiple times in the podcast that I think I can actually start to compare him to, you know, Max Verstappen. Yes, I'm starting to like the guy because he is like a race winner, but we'll see how he can actually, you know, start to stack up now with the greats, because he's infringing on his fourth. And they were asking him, I think there were a bunch of interviews that, can you make it to eight? Can you beat Lewis to eight? We'll see. But you know what? Imola is upon us. Super excited what's going to happen. Lots of things up in the air, as you said, Walker. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Are you guys ready for another epic segue?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Let's do it the way you set that up.
I'm on a fucking roll right now. I know it's going to be really good.
It has to be.
Okay. Well, speaking of tragedy, I'm looking here at the score sheet for Name That Sponsor, and it's absolutely fucking devastating. For those of you that don't know, Name That Sponsor is how we end every show. I choose three sponsors, and you have to name the team that they are on and what that business does. And I'm actually not sure what's more tragic, Senna's death or this lackluster performance. But let's see if we can turn things around. With Name That Sponsor, let's bring this energy back up.
Can we take a moment while we still have F1 True North, its maiden voyage? Can we set some ground rules that we stick to with this game? Because we have changed the rules so many times
in order
to help us get points that it is so sad.
We established the rules last time, and I really like it.
I like it too.
So what?
Let's reestablish them permanently.
The way the rules work is: I will name a sponsor. You have to tell me the team that it is on and also what that company does. We get 1 point for every correct answer. Okay, so potentially you can earn 6 points in an entire round. That is how it works. Okay, 6 points max. Obviously 0 points if you get it all wrong. The first sponsor this week is Bang & Olufsen. Bang & Olufsen.
Bang & Olufsen. It is a it's a stereo, like a audio company. Bang & Olufsen makes speakers. I don't know what else they have. I'm sure that's, I know they do at least that. And what would they be on? Bang & Olufsen's in what cars? Let's go with Mercedes.
Okay.
I'm going to say Aston Martin, same thing, like audio equipment, speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Audio equipment, speakers, Red Bull.
All right. Well, start off with a bit of softball this time. You all got it right. It's obviously a speaker, audio equipment company, and they sponsor Ferrari. Ferrari. 1 point each. Look at that. Yeah, you're on the board.
Yay.
That's
okay.
Hey, we're doing better than Senna.
Damn.
Huh?
You're alive. You're alive.
Hey.
Winning. Second sponsor is Better Up. Better Up. Better Up. Better Up.
I'm making it too easy for these clowns by going first and giving them like at least the company.
Okay, let's let Ed go first. Everybody goes first. Yeah. We'll go around in a circle. Ed, you go first.
All right. The team for Better Up, I'd say McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
What they do, they are a health and lifestyle company.
Okay.
I'm going to say Alpine and Thomas. Logistics.
Classic.
It's a fail safe, eh? That's such a fail safe. I'm going to go with F1 team stake Kick Sauber, and I'm going to say BetterUp is a company that does kind of like SaaS software sales for sales businesses.
Software sales for sales businesses? What does that even mean? I feel like another rule has to be you can't just say SaaS, because I think that's a little bit of a catch-all.
It's like logistics.
Okay. Yeah. But logistics gets away with it. Okay. They have software that helps sales companies.
So this is tricky. I have to do a little bit more research. So let me look into
Let's start with
bit.
The car then.
Okay. Car is AMG, Mercedes. So you all got that wrong. BetterUp, the BetterUp coaching platform drives whole company transformation, providing your employees with personalized experiences to boost productivity. Okay, so no, has nothing to do with sales. We won't do sales.
No.
Everyone got that one wrong. 0 points across the board. Feels like home.
Health and lifestyle company.
Still better than Seta.
Still.
Wait, I'm going to argue that health and lifestyle company. Is that not?
I never said it was a health and life. No. It was productivity.
No chance, buddy.
All right.
Productivity.
I got to try.
Last one is Sui. Sui.
I'm going to say
Sui.
Okay,
is
exactly. Right. You, you just keep sitting down and keep your mouth shut. Sui is going to be. I'm going to say it's going to be Haas, and it will be food processing company.
Okay. Drew?
It's on Red Bull, and Sui is a law firm because they like to sue you.
Well done. Okay.
That was good. That was good. A McLaren financial institution.
All right. So the car is Red Bull. Drew.
Points for that. Drew. That's the only part I knew.
That's the only you came into that pretty strong, like you knew that one.
Yeah.
So Sui delivers the benefits of Web 3 with the ease of Web 2. Thank God. Finally, somebody.
Oh, good. How the hell do peasants use Web 2 anymore? What a call. Oh my God.
Sui is a first-of-its-kind Layer 1 blockchain and smart contract platform designed to make digital asset ownership fast, private, secure, and accessible.
Okay.
Obviously.
It's right in the name. That's Sui. Right.
I mean, it's asset management.
Every time I upload these videos to YouTube, it asks me if it's sponsored. And now I know why. Because the way you read out the like the bio line of what these companies do, it sounds like a built-in advertisement.
It was straight like, up Google,
why do they keep
man.
Asking me?
Honestly, I think we should be, we should be advertised or we should be sponsored by these guys because we keep on talking about their companies.
Because we're who they want speaking about their companies. This is the kind of discourse they're looking for. Yeah. And that was named that sponsor. There we go. Another round. 2 points to Drew, 1 point to everybody else. I'm going to go back. I got to go to the back catalog and add up all the points for the season so far. But regardless, I don't think it's going to be very impressive. So that was the maiden voyage, the first episode of F1 True North. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending the last year with us as we yammer on about Formula One. We can't wait to share with you what's coming up, growing this thing, continuing to record amazing episodes. Don't forget to share with your friends, rate, subscribe, leave a comment, join the Discord, and we will see you next week.
It's lights out and away we go.